Welcome to the Georgia Today podcast. Here we bring you the latest reports from the GPB newsroom. On today's episode, one Georgia city is still unsure if a new ICE facility is going to be built there. Campaign season is ramping up before the November election, and Atlanta is working on a heat safety plan.
I think there's a big gap between our ability as a city to really notify people about extreme weather conditions and about the resources that do exist.
Today is Wednesday, July 15th. I'm Sophie Gradas, and this is Georgia Today. City officials in Northeast Georgia's Oakwood say they're still waiting for answers about a proposed ICE facility. News reports last month appeared to indicate the Department of Homeland Security was backing off from plans to build detention sites in two Georgia communities, including Oakwood. At Monday's City Council meeting, Oakwood Mayor Lamar Scroggs said the city hasn't received any formal notice confirming those reports. He said the city remains prepared to file a lawsuit if any land-disturbing activity takes place at the site. While Oakwood's fate remains undecided, the Muskogee County Sheriff's Office has joined a U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement program to expand cooperation between the two agencies. The office signed an agreement to enter the 287G program last week. The program authorizes the federal agency to delegate certain immigration functions to state and local law enforcement officers. Sheriff Greg Countryman told the Columbus Ledger Inquirer, being in the program, quote, does not change the way that we work, and deputies are not, quote, going out looking for anyone. For the first time since the 80s, the U.S. is preparing to mass-produce plutonium pits, the source of nuclear explosions. Most will likely be produced at the Savannah River site in South Carolina near Augusta. GPB's Jillian McToto has more.
In 2021, the South Carolina Environmental Law Project sued the National Nuclear Security Administration for failing to produce an adequate environmental impact statement. In April this year, the NNSA released that statement. But groups represented by the SCELP argue it lacks critical information on whether or not these pits are needed in the first place. Project attorney Benjamin Cunningham requested that information from the NNSA last week.
There's a question about whether or not the NNSA could just reuse current pits to avoid making all these new pits. There is a new study that we believe was completed last year on pit aging, and that has not been released at all.
The public comment period for the environmental impact statement ends at midnight on July 16th. For GBB News, I'm Jillian Magtoto.
Now past the primary and runoff elections, the Democratic and Republican parties are training volunteers and ramping up campaign season ahead of the 2026 election. GPB's Sarah Callis reports on their plans.
Both parties say it will be critical to engage with voters directly through canvassing, phone calls, and text campaigns. Democratic Party of Georgia 6th District Chair Joel Cope attended a canvassing training Tuesday, where Maryland Governor Wes Moore fired up the volunteers.
In politics, there is no lull time. Basically, it's more time and a little bit less time, but we're always working to engage with voters.
Republican Party of Georgia Chairman Josh McCoon says their party is also training volunteers to reach out to voters.
The party that has the better turnout apparatus is the party that ultimately can win the election.
Election Day is November 3rd. For GPB News, I'm Sarah Callis.
Georgia will receive more than $450,000 as part of a multi-state settlement with genetic testing company 23andMe following a 2023 data breach. Georgia Attorney General Chris Carr made the announcement on Tuesday, saying the breach exposed genetic information belonging to nearly 171,000 Georgians and millions of customers worldwide. A coalition of 42 attorneys general found the company failed to implement basic cybersecurity safeguards before the attack. The settlement comes as 23andMe moves through bankruptcy proceedings. Consumers can still request that their genetic data be deleted from the company's database. Two of Georgia's oldest newspapers have been sold to a national nonprofit news company. GPB's Grant Blankenship has more.
The Macon Telegraph will mark its 200th birthday later this year. The Columbus Ledger Inquirer is only 2 years younger. Now, both newspapers have been sold by California-based and hedge fund-owned McClatchy Media to the nonprofit Georgia Trust for local news. Georgia Trust Executive Director Cynthia DuBose says in Macon, the deal means a merger of the Macon Telegraph and the Georgia Trust's own news startup, the Macon Melody, into one news outlet.
The Melody name will not go away. It will become a weekly part of the Telegraph, and it will cover the people, the places, the moments that are really the rhythm of Macon.
It's unclear how many of the remaining Telegraph journalists may stay through the merger. For GPB News, I'm Grant Blankenship in Macon.
The city of Atlanta is one step closer to creating a formal heat safety plan. The City Council's Community Development and Human Services Committee voted yesterday to advance a resolution directing the city to develop a coordinated response to extreme heat. The resolution was introduced by Councilmember Kelsey Bond. It would create a citywide heat safety plan, including expanded cooling center access and a more standardized process for responding to dangerous temperatures. Bond says the city needs a more reliable system as extreme heat becomes more common.
I think there's a big gap between our ability as a city to really notify people about extreme weather conditions and about the resources that do exist.
Atlanta experienced several days of extreme heat over the 4th of July holiday weekend, with heat index values topping triple digits. The resolution now heads to the full city council for consideration. The Atlanta housing market remains healthy, but a leading indicator of future closings is showing signs of decline. That's according to the latest data from multiple listing service, Georgia MLS. The data shows sales volumes increased by about 3% month over month and year over year, while under contract listings declined sharply. One of Savannah's most recognizable hotels has been sold. Property records show New York-based Certaris and California-based Clearview Hotel Capital bought the Hyatt Savannah Regency in June for $105 million. The 1981 hotel sits next to City Hall and looms over Savannah's historic waterfront. Atlanta soccer fans gathered in Centennial Olympic Park for the last day of the FIFA Fan Festival. Argentina and England jerseys filled the park during the semifinal match. Joey Maradino is an Atlanta resident rooting for England. He says he'll miss the community atmosphere of the fan festival.
It's been amazing to see soccer actively become more enjoyed in this country year after year. We're getting bigger stars in the MLS. We're getting bigger notoriety over the world. People want to maybe come and play with us. I mean, it's just awesome to see the culture starting to thrive around here, and I would really love to see that continue pace as opposed to falling off like it did in 1994.
FanFest reached its 20,000 ticket maximum on multiple days during the tournament. Closing ceremonies tonight will include performances by Big Boy and Jermaine Dupri. That's it for today's edition of Georgia Today. If you would like to learn more about these stories, visit gpb.org/news. And if you haven't yet hit subscribe on this podcast, take a moment right now and keep us current in your podcast feed. If you have feedback, we would love to hear it. Please email us at georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Sophie Gratus, and we will see you tomorrow.